for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Spring Camp Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, April the 3rd, 2015. Kyle Neves is the speaker of this service, teaching on the House of Prayer.
The radio the other day, somehow I just punched it. You know, you did a seek, and it came up on a Christian station. It was kind of an old-time gospel station. I don't know, it was a country and western-sounded kind of guy that was singing kind of a gospel song of sorts. And it was interesting that he mentioned something in it that caught me. As I kept listening to it, I thought, this just sounds like, he sounded like someone that maybe you would have heard about. Can you take some of the echo out of that just a little bit, maybe dry that out a little bit? Anyway, that's good. And it sounded like he mentioned the Holy Spirit. He said the Holy Ghost. But he was reminiscing the way the song was, and it was unfamiliar to me. I'd never heard it before, so I didn't identify with it as something I'd heard before. But it was almost reminiscing of a time gone by when he perhaps grew up in church, like a lot of country and western singers. They grew up singing the hymns, and they hit the big time. You know, you give up sometimes singing the hymns. You know, I think to some degree you miss what God really calls sometimes in any event. It was like he was reminiscing about the Holy Spirit and how those times, it was something, it brought a feeling, a sense that he was touched by that. But it was almost like something that used to be. You didn't get the impression, it made you think, well, so what about, it's kind of like what he was saying, what about the Holy Spirit and what he's doing in my life lately? And that sometimes it's one thing to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But it's not just a one-time event. It's not just a one-time, I spoke in tongues once. It might have helped you once. You know what I mean? The Lord's wanting more. He's wanting it. And you know, I thought about this message, and I kind of got fixed on it because there were a lot of things. But you know, I thought I was asked to speak at 3 o'clock hour. You know, the ancient time, they set time is interesting. You mentioned 6 o'clock was the start of their day because that's sunrise. 6 o'clock, first hour. The sixth hour was 12 o'clock. It was noted to be a time of prayer. You know, Peter's on the rooftop and he sees this vision at the sixth hour. It's 12 o'clock. He's praying. So the disciples in Acts 3, I believe, they're going up the hour of prayer, 3 o'clock, the ninth hour. The ninth of hour, and I thought, well, This is the hour of prayer. And it fit, you know, my eyes fell to this particular message, you know, the house of prayer. You know, the Lord, you know, Jesus said that his house should be remembered, you know, the house of prayer. I thought about people who receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, irregardless of where they are, kind of like this guy singing on the radio. I thought, you know, irregardless of where he was in his life or walk, or if he was reminiscing of the times gone by, It does, having been exposed to the work of the Holy Spirit and His power, you could tell that man singing had sensed something at once upon a time, something that made a great impact on his life. Whether he was allowing it to work in his life on that particular day was something he was remembering with fond memories, and more than that. You know, I think that the Holy Spirit, and I like, and it blesses me when you minister around people who understand and have a concept of receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, because they're sensitized to the Spirit thinking. They're sensitized. They're sensitive to knowing that God moves in a greater way, and we need to learn to yield to Him. Jesus said, "My house will be a house of prayer." Open your Bible, if you will. We'll just look at a couple places. And I want us to, I intended to do this on the front end, kind of with this message being this is the house of prayer, this is the hour of prayer. I intended that we'd spend a little time in prayer. But I felt impressed to leave that go to the end. That'd be the way we close. But we're going to spend some time praying. We're going to ask God to do something. You know, because I wrote some things down last night, and I have that one all there. I thought there was a, I don't know what you teach sometimes. You teach that some things are released, endorphins, or some things are released when you feel good about yourself. But in other words, certain things are released. The point in that, my mind thought of that. I couldn't think of the instance. In the natural, things are released. In the spirit, when we pray, things are released. We can't see it. We don't understand it. It's a supercharged atmosphere. There is activity that is released when we pray. When we pray corporately,
yes.
You know, they were going up. The ancient mindset had this time where, like you said, you know, sometimes we, you know, why the 3 o'clock hour? That's interesting. Why 3 o'clock? Why is that the hour of prayer? Why is 4 o'clock? Why is the 3 o'clock hour the hour of prayer? I thought, well, you know, maybe because night's coming. Night's coming. You mentioned the comfort. We need that comfort. We need the comforter not just at night. We need him all day.
Yes.
We need to learn to pray and exercise that activity all day so that we stay engaged and we're constantly in that activity because night's coming. And it's important that 3 o'clock, you know, it's a time that we prayed in that mindset. They were, their life was regulated by prayer. You know, the Holy Spirit has given us so that we might be able to be regulated in that place of prayer. He said his house was a house of prayer. Why should that be the thing? Why should it be, you know, you could say, well, why should it be known? It's in, turn to Luke 20, verse 19. Chapter 19, Luke 19, I believe verse 46, he said to them, he was saying to them, Jesus goes to the temple and he's driving folks and folks out or buying and selling. He says to them, it's written in my house is a house of prayer. Why? You know, I'm going to say some things that if you're writing things down, if you get to write them down, I'll just kind of enumerate. There's four or five things that as I was kind of looking at things, I thought, well, these things are profound. They're profound. You know, his house could be known as a place to feed people, a place to house people, a place where love is. It should be all of those things. But Jesus specifically says, my house is a house of prayer. Why? Because prayer is communication. Is that right? Prayer is communication. Communication that allays all fears and encourages confidence and trust. Think about that. Some of these things I'm going to say to you, that they bear writing down and maybe meditating on it a little bit because I believe they're true. You see if they're true, but that it's a place of constant communication. His house to be a house of prayer, a place where we communicate with him. You may have something good, but if it cannot be communicated, it's of no value. I think you said that in one form or another last night. That, you know, in other words, what good is it if we don't, I don't know if you did relative to forgiveness or how you said that. But if you have something good, it's of no value if it can't be communicated. You may love your children, but if you cannot communicate that to them, they don't feel loved. It's important. I mean, how many times have you seen that? I'm talking a wholesome love story. You might say, man, a guy meets a girl, a woman, he goes off to war, they fall in love, so to speak, and nothing's ever said, nothing's ever communicated. She falls in love with someone else and gets married, he comes back, and what good was it? That love you had, you couldn't communicate it. That's maybe a poor example, but in some sense, you know, communication is important. His house is to be a house of prayer because if we don't communicate, it's rather one-sided. It may have something good, but if it cannot be communicated, it's of no use. That's the first thing. The second thing is that people are not disposed to prayer because it's supernatural. You know, that's why people usually wait till there's a need, right? You don't pray until you have to. You've exercised everything else. You've done everything else. My granddad used to have a guy that was his top driver. He had some guys that would drive truck stations to deliver gas, and he would have these trucks. And he had a guy that was a truck driver, and he said he would try to do everything he could do to get himself out of the jam. I mean, he wouldn't call. He's too proud to call you. If he just called you, you'd go out there with a tow truck and get him out. But if he calls you, he's stuck. You're in trouble. You better take lots of help out there with you because he is stuck. He's stuck so bad. He's worked. He's done everything. Now he's in a real fix. Isn't that the way we are sometimes? We try everything but God. We try everything but God because in our flesh is not naturally disposed to prayer. Because it's supernatural. It makes no sense. What do we do? What are we doing standing around talking? I can't tell you how many times people say, what are you going to pray about it for? You know, what are you going to do that for? You know, you just need to get... And there's a place for hard work. There's a place for things that you have to do. But there's a place for prayer. And sometimes we miss that place. His house is to be a house of prayer. It's supernatural. It takes... Think about this. Without the Holy Spirit, it relates to what you're saying, Paul. Without the Holy Spirit, you can ask for some things, but your prayer is rather, what do you call it, unidimensional. It's just one-sided. You're asking God for things, but you're not being able to receive. You're not hearing from what, I like the way you said that, what God thinks, Jesus speaks, and the Holy Spirit does. Without the Holy Spirit, we're just asking Him for things. We just got our list out. And we're telling. We're in a jam. We're telling for things. And I believe God hears those things. At times He's rescued us. But I believe He's wanting more for His... I know He wants more for His people. That's why He gives the Holy Spirit. Because without that, all we can do is ask. That's why I say, until you do ask, and you ask, and with persistence, guess what He's going to give you? It's the Holy Spirit. You know, when Jesus gives the parables about persistence in prayer, what's He talking about? He ain't talking about your list. He cares about those little things, but He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Ask. He goes for bread. He keeps knocking. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives.
Yes.
The Father gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him with persistence. So the Holy Spirit's important. That second idea is important. It's a supernatural thing. So it requires that work of the Holy Spirit. This third thing is that prayer requires faith. It takes discipline, and it invites true fellowship. I'll say it again. I just kind of want to enumerate these things. This isn't really. I've still got some other points, but I want to get through this and then let's pray. But it requires faith and it takes discipline. Prayer invites true fellowship. That's the third profound thing, if you say something worth meditating on. Prayer. Why should the house be a house of prayer? Because it requires faith. Sometimes we fail to pray because it requires faith. It takes discipline and it invites true fellowship. We're rather selfish on our own. On our own turf, on our own prayers. That one-dimensional praying is rather selfish. We need that work of the Holy Spirit so He takes away that selfish element and causes us to begin to want. Because when we begin to want there, when we begin to want to spend time in God's presence simply for the sake of who He is and what He can do in our life and for the glory of it, it begins to impact. And I believe we do like you're saying, our aim can be to sit still and listen. I know that's my greatest need. That's your greatest need, is to listen. What is... You know, sometimes I can't, I got too much going on in my head and I need to say, okay, stop. Lord, what? That's why I do point one, point two, point three. I had a pastor tell me that was trying to help me years ago when I first started trying to do this and share my heart and kind of get that thing out. And he said, well, you had some really good points, but I didn't know what you're saying. In other words, can you just, you know, condense it down, give me boom, boom, boom. Sometimes I'd be better off, if I could do that in 5 minutes and we could all go home. If they're what God says, if they're what God wants to say, to speak to your heart, it could just be a few words. You know, I'm forever constantly impressed with Jesus and how it's good to ask Him questions because He has the answers just with a few words that just can... They disarm rulers. They disarm principalities.
Yes.
They disarm what I am looking at with my two eyes and I'm so worried and concerned about. I find the comfort. We need to learn to hear His voice. We need to listen to Him. It's important. It invites prayer. It invites true fellowship. True fellowship. That's double-sided. That's asking and receiving. That's a powerful position, asking and receiving. The fourth thing is that in any church, large or small, if you have a prayer meeting, that marks the dividing line between mere fraternal comrades and intimate friends. Let me say that again. Let me read it. In any church, large or small, if you have a prayer meeting, that marks the dividing line between mere fraternal comrades and intimate friends, because casual friendship is easier than fellowship. think it's true. You know? It's easy to have church rallied around, this is our likes. These are all the things we like. It becomes difficult when you try to rally all of those people, all in different places, all the different differentiations that we try to make as men, and try to rein all of that and bring it under one. It takes, you know, I'm convinced that without the spirit of prayer, you don't get there in church. Without the spirit of prayer, without the Holy Spirit. You know, if you notice, before the Holy Spirit fell and what he did in the early chapters of the book of Acts, before the Holy Spirit fell, you will find them gathering together, praying. And then the Holy Spirit fell. You'll find the place, I think it's long about, I don't know, in the earlier, still a little bit later on, when James comes, they come to James and the elders, they have to give an answer, right? They said, having become of one mind, then they make a statement for what they for the new believers, the new converts that Paul, I believe, had come back with, and they were needing an answer to kind of send along an answer with the church from the elders of the church in Jerusalem. But it was from the place of having come to one mind. And I don't believe you get it one mind in the body with many diversities of thoughts and thinkings and opinion without the one Holy Spirit to cause us to say and hear, God, what is it that you're saying and what do you want to say? In any church, it's the dividing line that makes just from just being fraternal friends or intimate friends in Him. This last thing is, I'm not done, but the last thing I think that can be rather profound to see is that prayer is the key to reconciling our hearts rather than misjudging life situations. Think about that one. Prayer is the key. Jesus, why did Jesus say the house is to be a house of prayer? It's for all of those things that I just stated, but the last of which is that prayer is the key to reconciling our hearts rather than misjudging life's situations. You ever been hurt, wounded? Sometimes the older we are, the more we kind of get a view about life depending on how, you know, things go. Sometimes I get rather discouraged about what I'm looking at. You know, I want to form an opinion about based upon how I've been done or how things are going or not going, how I thought, you know, we can misjudge that and it sort of colors our whole life. We look at life on the basis of our experience rather than recognizing through a place of prayer God changes our heart and He causes us not to misjudge those life situations, but He reconciles our heart to His and He gives us the hope and the will to go forward, not to lose heart, not to become discouraged, not to become disheartened. You know, that's the great work of the enemy against your soul, is to cause you to lose heart in what you do. How many times in the Word He said, He told them at all times that they are to what? Pray and not lose heart. Is that right? You lose heart, you're done. The enemy knows that. You lose heart. I'm no coach, but I know this from talking to some coaches and from having played some sports. If you can convince your opponent in the first quarter by running the score up to about 49-0 that he's got no chance of winning, he will give up. And when he gives up, he's done. You can run the score on up to 112 if you want to. And the enemy knows that. The enemy works. He has assault and his attack. And Jesus said, my house is to be a house of prayer. We've made it a place for people. We've made it a coffee bar. We've made it a lot of things. We've made it a place of comrades and friendship and fellowship. We've made it the church that likes to, you know, I think we had shared a message a few weeks ago, but I've been reading the book of Acts. But you know, there was a church, these folks that took issue with Stephen, you remember? They were from the synagogue of the freedmen. I don't know, you try to look that up. There's controversy over exactly who those guys were, but one thing's clear to me, is they were trying to make a statement about what kind of folks they were. They were the church of the freedmen. Once upon a time, maybe they perhaps had been slaves to something, to someone, to somebody, perhaps no more. We're the synagogue of freedmen. It's kind of like wearing your grievances on your sleeve, wanting to make a statement to everybody about who you are. You know, at some point, he wants there to be more from us than that. Turn to, just look at verse 25 of chapter 20. I want to just read a couple of scriptures. 20, verse 25. They come to Jesus and ask him a question. These are the Pharisees. He says, is it lawful to pay the Pharisees have a question for Jesus. Verse 20 says they watched him and they sent some folks over. And it says, then they asked him, "Teacher, we know that you teach rightly." Verse 21. "We know that you teach rightly. You say that you do not show personal favoritism, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But he perceived their craftiness and said to them, "Why do you test me? Show me a denarius. Whose image and inscription does it have?" They answered and said, "Caesar." So he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." But they couldn't catch him in his words in the presence of the people. And they marveled at his answer and kept silent. And I thought, you know, Jesus has the answer. It's good to ask Jesus questions. It's good to ponder. It's good to ask. Well, these had the wrong idea about asking him questions because their heart wasn't right. But it's good to ask Jesus questions because, like I said, he's got the answers that make us shut our mouth. He's got the answer that can make me shut up and listen. He has answers. He has answers that makes the crowd who has evil intent in their heart make a statement, drop their rocks, and go home. With just a few words. He doesn't need a lot of words. And I thought sometimes we're too, I know I am far too long about words and what I really need. What I really need is a move that the Holy Spirit brings in with people's life. I realize sometimes I see my failure with other people. I was far too preachy with my own kids, I think. Too preachy and not maybe listening more and just speaking just, you know. Lately, I've been convicted of feeling like, you know what? Keep your mouth shut. And if I got something I want you to say, I'll give it to you. And it'll burn in your heart. And you know that you know it's me. It's an urge. It's kind of like Mary was saying. There's a prompting from God. I had a similar situation a while back. I felt like that the Lord was prompting me to. It was like I was out, and it was like God prompted me. Go do it. Go do it now. Go write that letter. Go do it. I've had that happen a couple of times. It was almost like, you know, we need to learn to become sensitive to that. Knowing God moves like that, we need to become sensitive to that. You know the way that won't get the best of us is if we spend time in the house, in a place of prayer. You see, if we just know God does that, and once in a while, once in a great while, you know what I mean, we practice or exercise that thing, if you're not careful, you know, you're hearing God say it, He didn't say it. You're feeling peace when there is no peace. You're missing the cue. God says, you know, I guess that gets back to why I was saying that this place of prayer, this house of prayer is a place where we with regularity come in. It regulates our life and it encourages confidence and trust that we know, you know, what we have to say. You know, you're speaking out. I appreciate you sharing about the gift of the Holy Spirit in tongues. It's true. You don't hear people talk a lot about that, do you? Kind of what you were saying. Yeah, that ministered to me last night when you said that spirit of Antichrist, he didn't want you to talk about Jesus. You don't talk about, you know, God. We want God, but you don't say Jesus. He is the dividing line. He sets men on fire. I mean, he sets men's teeth on edge. I don't know what it is. You know, if it's the world, they can take his name all day long. But the minute you say it was something serious and something well-intentioned and something for his glory, driven by the Spirit, it angers people. We need to look at verse 1946. I've kind of lost my train of thought. Go back to verse chapter 19. Just want to make some comments about failure to pray. It's important to pray. My house, Jesus said, is to be a house of prayer. Identified as that place. Verse 46, it says, my house is a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Failure to pray is, you understand what he's saying? That you have failed to make it a house of prayer. In other words, it's you failed to make it, if you could say it this way, they failed to make it a house of prayer, but it was, Jesus said, you turned it into a den of thieves. In other words, you failed to make it a place of constant communication with me. It's not, they failed. It wasn't constant communication. Failure to pray, I want you to see this in another scripture. It's in Luke 20, verse 1 to 7, just one more chapter up. But I want you to see something about this house of prayer. That it's a den of thieves. it's lacking in constant communication. He says, now it happened one of those days, verse 1 of chapter 20, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, that the chief priests and the scribes together with the elders confronted him. And they spoke to him, saying, tell us, I wish I could do it like Carla did it last night. You read with such expression, you know what I mean? You kind of turn your voice, kind of like how they, you can imagine that kind of their arrogant approach that they would have had. Spoke to him, tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? And who is it who gave you this authority? And now they're saying this to Jesus. Who is it? These are the smart folks. These are the learned folks. These are the folks who have the position. And he answered and said to them, but I will tell you this one thing and answer me. I also will ask you one thing and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, then why then didn't you believe in him? But if we say from men, all the people will stone us, for they were persuaded that John was a prophet. So they answered that they did not know where he was from. And Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. And here's the point. Failure to pray is failure to recognize his authority. They had made it. They had failed to pray. They had failed to make his house a house of prayer. My house is a house of prayer, but you made it a robber's den. In the next segment here, he's talking to them. They don't get his authority. The point, if you connect the two verses, and they are connected, failure to pray is a failure to recognize his authority. It invites tyranny, despotic abuse of power, authority. It's like the government is absolute ruler with no recognition of God. You know what? It's all over but the crime when you get to that point. You know what I'm saying? That you know, we've been such a country that's been blessed because we recognize there's a God. And he supersedes man's interventions here. He uses men. But the minute you become the supreme authority and you cut God out of the mix, you're done. Failure to pray is a failure to recognize his authority. And they fail to recognize his authority. I submit to you that they fail to make it a place of constant communication. But what about you and me? Your website or your company's website has a certain domain name and can legally operate in that environment, right? That when you and I come to the place of prayer, we have a place to legally operate. We have an operating environment that's legal. It's trustworthy. You can trust it. It's the Antichrist spirit, just like these right here in verse 20, chapter 20. But who gave you this authority? Isn't that Antichrist spirit that wants to come to question Jesus, to question his authority? I mean, they don't even stop. Just think through the logic of that. Who gave you this authority? Certainly didn't get it from us. I mean, you know, what are they saying? We're the be-all and end-all. You didn't get it from us. You didn't get that authority. Then you must think you got that authority from God. We don't know if we believe that. Is that right? They're unbelief, right? They're full of unbelief. So you're going to pray, failures to recognize his authority. I think the Lord wants us to get to a place where, you know, we've had enough of the enemies. Kind of like the back up to that verse in 46 where it says, my house is a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Failure to pray is a license to theft. Failure to pray fails to recognize God's authority, and it's also a license to theft, to be stolen from, to make it a place that's just a robber's den with his presence absent. And I wrote this down, that we become, when we fail to pray, we become takers and not receivers. You know, when we fail to pray, that we're stolen from, and we're given to that just spirit of theft, to where we're taken from God. We're wanting God to do for us. It kind of falls into what you were saying about the works thing. You know, we think salvation is just the praying a little prayer. That's all there is to it. Biggest lie ever perpetrated. But that's not biblical. It's not biblical. It's not in the New Testament. I mean, you know, if you look at the, you were saying, saved, past, present, future. That's a verb that it's a past act with continuing and future results. In other words, it continues on. And if it doesn't continue on, there's some real problems with that thinking and that theology. And it would convince folks that it's just the praying of a little prayer. And failure to pray is licensed to theft. We become takers wanting from God as opposed to receiving from God. There is a difference, isn't there? You know, one has rightful authority, the other does not. The place of prayer is important. There's all sorts of things that happen in that environment where we make it not a place of prayer, it becomes a robber's den. The Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist is relentless. While sometimes good men or virgins sleep, you know, he's wanting us to wake up and pray. Verse 1941, back there, where failure to pray misses the place of peace, is the last idea I want you to get. Failure to pray misses the place of peace. Verse 41, it says, as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, If you had known, especially in this your day, the things that make for peace, now they're hidden from your eyes. Now there were some folks that had been following him, you could say, on this first Palm Sunday, I guess it would be, where they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. There were some folks that followed him, his disciples were following him, and they were saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in the heavens and glory in the highest. Verse 38, I'm backing up. He said there were those with him that said his disciples that didn't get it. But he's weeping over Jerusalem, over the city that should have gotten it and she didn't. You know, failure to pray, it misses the place of peace, and Jesus weeps over that place. You know, it's important, this place of prayer. And I'm just saying these things just to establish the need for it for our life. And just corporately, just a minute, we pray of waiting on God. But we do that we gather as a church body kind of midweek and we try to spend some time praying, just opening it up and praying as God would lead us to pray. So not to miss the place of peace. The Lord wants us to learn to vocalize that place. It says in verse 37 and 8, it said there were those who, while he weeps over those who miss it, those who get it, verse 37 and 8 says that as he was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice and for all the mighty works that he'd seen, saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Back up the latter part of verse 37 where he says, they began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. For all of the things they had been allowed to see, I think another translation might render that out. For all of the things that they had been allowed to see, in other words, they were being communicated to. They were receiving from Jesus, and it brought the wherewithal to vocalize. This is what they said: blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he. Happy is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. You know, they've said some things. They were able to voice and communicate and vocalize. Someone told me a long time ago, I had a lady once who was helping me kind of to sing. It was a voice lady. She was in our church, a voice coach. And she said it's important that, you know, the voice is just two muscles. So sometimes you can abuse your voice. You can do certain things that cause those two muscles just to bang together and be very harmful to the voice. So if you're really interested in vocalizing and gaining strength, you start slow and you work your way up. You do vocal exercises and they build those two little muscles and strengthen the voice, gets stronger. You know, the place of prayer, he's trying to strengthen us to see the place of peace, to communicate to us the place of peace, because I have too many things to take away my peace. I have too many things the enemy tries to use. Do you ever have some difficulties sometimes when you lay down? I had a lady tell me here a while back, She said, I just can't make my mind shut down at night. Sweet lady. Godly lady. Lady, I bet she spent her last 50 years in the church. Her and her husband. Friends of, at one time, Leonard Ravenhill, she said, yeah, they used to be friends and go, and her husband would talk to him for hours, and they developed quite a friendship. But she said, sometimes I just can't make my mind shut down. You know, we need another way of peace. We need that place of prayer so that the Lord brings us into the truth, that where I stop living by what I can see, you know, this fleshly kind of fleshly inclined realm, to believe what God says, to say what God says, and to say, Lord, you know, to have that confidence in Him, so that I don't miss the place of peace, so that I have the right posture. True disciples vocalize. That was the point of. Let me just read this. It says, and some of the Pharisees called out to him from the crowd. In other words, they're saying, blessed is the King, peace in heaven. And some of the Pharisees, verse 39, they called out to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should be kept silent, the stones would immediately cry out. His disciples are able to vocalize. True disciples vocalize the place of peace because they have presence, they have audience with Jesus. The Holy Spirit is, you know, shared before, you know, if Jesus sits at the right hand of God and He says, it's good that I go away, though I send the Helper to come. If we don't take the Comforter's help, there ain't no getting to Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? If Jesus is speaking, there ain't no hearing what He's saying. There's no ear for it. And if there's no ear, you know, if you're a singer, if you got no ear for it, you can't sing it. If you can't hear it, you can't sing it. If you hear it and it's off, it'll be off key. It's important to have a hearing ear. That's so important in music, but it's even more important. We see that as it relates to other things, but somehow we miss it when it comes to, because I've been taught, well, I can just pray the prayer and I'm good to go. He says, I want you to live the life. I want you to live the life. And the life is living in that constant place of prayer. George Mueller said, I live in the spirit of prayer. And the answers are always coming. Tens of thousands of times have I asked God for something. Once I believe and I'm convinced that it is God's will, I continue to pray for it until I get what I ask. I think that's a pretty persistent kind of thing. But the point is there is a spirit of prayer that God wants us to enter into. A place of prayer that He wants His house to be about. I believe He wants, as I said just a minute ago, and I want us to spend just a little time just praying. You know, I thought about that. Well, how should we end this? And I felt like we would do this on the beginning, but I really want us to take a whole time, season here, and pray. Just if God leads you to pray, we're asking for God to move. We're asking for Him to break, because He, there's a release when there's that activity in the place of prayer. He releases. I believe He has the place of release. Supernaturally can energize. No, we should ask Him to supernaturally do some things in our life to bring about our release. You know, this morning I was saying, God, I want an anointing. Sometimes we, you know, kind of like you mentioned, sometimes we feel led to go in His presence, and there's a window of opportunity, you know, for all of us. We need His anointing. We know what it's like to have it and what it's like when we don't. But we need an anointing. I want to receive that anointing. I want us to receive an anointing to pray. So I wrote these things down, that He breaks the yoke of unforgiveness and bitterness. There's a yoke of bitter unforgiveness, the thing we started out with. It's not. He needs to break off that bitter unforgiveness. We need to pray that He breaks the yoke of the spirit of Antichrist, which is idolatry. Self on the throne. The spirit of Antichrist. Whether he can convince you that you're God or he's God, or you bow down to something else, it all amounts to idolatry. If we fail to recognize His peace, and he's the glory, He's the peace, if we fail to recognize that, we're hit deep in idolatry. Break the spirit of the Antichrist, which is the spirit of idolatry and the spirit of self. And break off the spirit of self-deception. It brings off a false peace. self-deceiving spirits. For what that's worth, I want us just to go to a place of prayer, and let's pray on those things, and let's ask the Lord. He's the liberator. Let's pray. Pray with me. Pray if God leads you. We're just going to take a season, and I'll close, but we're going to end this way. Lord, we just come to you. We thank you, Lord, that you know the way of peace. We thank you, Lord God, that you're our provision. We thank you that you said your house is to be a house of prayer, a place where you communicate with us, where you reveal things to us, where you show us what it takes and what the terms of peace are. You show us where there's the bonds of affliction. You show us where there's wrongful authority. You show us where we've not even recognized your authority and we've given license to the enemy to steal. We bind off that work in Jesus' name. We ask you right now that you would bring about an atmosphere of release. Lord, of everything that's captive to the enemy, Lord, we want to take it back in Jesus' name. We pray that, Lord, you would just right now begin, as we pray, you begin to change the atmosphere. Change our thinking. Lord, we ask you. We ask you, change our thinking. Change our mind. Conform our mind to your mind. Your word says that we don't. If we pray for more discernment, Lord, you give us your mind. You are discernment. We're missing it completely if we're not getting in on the discernment. Lord, we need the mind of Christ. So we ask you to give us your mind. We just wait on you right now. Bless you. Just pray that God bless you. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bind all spirit of confusion in Jesus' name. Every spirit that wants to confuse your plan,
yes,
in Jesus' name, we pull it down. We pull down the strongholds of confusion in Jesus' name. We pull down those strongholds in Jesus' name. We pull down every. You have not given us a spirit of timidity or fear. We pull down the spirits of fear and timidity. Thing in Jesus' name. We release boldness in Jesus' name. We thank you that, Lord, your Holy Spirit is life-giving boldness, not timid. Thing. We get timid. We get shaken. We get rattled. We release all that in Jesus' name. We release the enemy's rattling to the chain. We release his fear in Jesus' name. We bind it and we release our lives from that fear, that intimidation in Jesus' name. And Lord, we loose the power of your Holy Spirit to bring boldness and life of the receiving, of the receptive. We bind the stubborn spirit in Jesus' name that will not receive. We bind that. And Lord, we loose your Holy Spirit. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord.
Father, I acknowledge that you are here, and for that I thank you. It isn't anything that we've earned or deserve, but your mercy and your love, Father, covers everything.
Yes.
Lord God, you told us in your word you already knew what we needed, and why we have failed to ask once and then go into a spirit of praise and worship and adoration, for the answer is on the way.
Yes.
And I acknowledge, Father, that you are never early and you're never late, but you're always on time. If we stay conversing with you moment by moment and day by day, we can eliminate a lot of the fear that comes upon us. And for that I thank you, Father, because you told us in your word, fear God, fear not, fear not. And yet, we turned. I thank you, Father, that even this very day you're doing a new work in my life. And I know those that are here, Father, will leave here much, much different than how they came. And for that I thank you, Father. Because we came here as a needy people. We came here because this is a hospital that you have set up in this area of the world so that we can come and be released of the shackles and chains that the enemy has put on us. And for that I thank you, Father. And I thank you, Father, that we have heard your word come forth today, and that when we leave here, we will be a different people. And for that, I thank you, Father.
Thank you. We don't have to depend on feelings, Lord. Lord, if I depend on how I feel, I'd probably go home. Lord, I thank you. That's the enemy's assault against. I bind the enemy's assault against our life. I bind that assault. I bind that attack in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you for the liberty and the freedom that's in you. And Lord, we wait on you for that. We thank you that, Lord, you have the ability to make all chains fall, and you have the ability to make for release of every place that's needy. I pray that you bring it to life. We might pray on it. We bless you. Bless you, Lord. Release us from a spirit of prayerlessness, but Lord, help us to commune with you. Help us to fellowship with you. Bless you, Lord.
To break the power of the lie that God doesn't want to talk to us.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we're not good enough to come to this home of grace.
Yes.
So Lord, we admit we're not good enough. We thank you for your blood and covenant that makes us have free access to your throne.
Yes, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Lord, we ask for our brothers and sisters. In harm's way, we know.
Yes.
Those Christians, those who call you by name, who are in prison right now, Lord. We're all here one accord toward them, Lord. As you move to set Paul and Silas free,
yes.
As your angel went and set Peter free, we know your word says it, that you can go and set our brothers and sisters that are in harm's way right now free in the name of Jesus. And we find that spirit that holds them.
Yes.
We find that spirit that has them chained up there, Lord, in the Middle East. They cry out to you right now, Lord. They cry out to you, Lord, save the
soul.
We ask, Lord, that you move the very chains that have them, and open the cell doors, Lord, and let them walk out, set free. But the enemy can't even see them, Lord. You set them free in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Lord, I pray for my friend Laurie of 30 years,
yes.
My dear prayer warrior friend, is right now in physical pain, bleeding, in physical pain, hernias,
yes.
Pain in her ovaries, pain in her back, pain in her kidneys. God, I cry out, heal her! Help, Lord!
Yes.
Yeah.
We ask the Lord you would heal your daughter in Jesus' name. We ask you, Lord, we thank you for the prayers of the saints. Lord, we just ask you. We ask you to touch her. We ask you to bring healing into her life. We ask you, Lord, give wisdom to her mind. We ask you to infuse her with your word. You would send your word to watch over. And Lord, somehow, we ask you to send your word by the work of your Holy Spirit to watch over and to heal her. Lord, I pray that you give her your word like medicine. A regular dose every minute, every day, according to what she needs in Jesus' name. I pray you fill her mind with the word. You fill her mind with the word that washes like water, to wash out all affection, all hindrance, all work of the enemy, every place the enemy brings pain, every God, we just ask you to be our healer. Lord, there's been a whole lot of trouble, and Lord, we just ask you, Lord, that I don't think there's the means, the money, to do all that, Lord, she just needs a miracle to change you. We ask you in Jesus' name, touch her, Lord. Touch your life, Lord. Heal her body. Move on, Lord. Bless you.
Father God, you said you send forth your word to heal us.
Yes.
And to deliver us from our destructions. Father God, we ask that you hasten that virgin performance.
Yes.
You'll show every word that's been spoken in Jesus' name.
Yes. Yes, bless you. Bless you, Lord. Whatever you
Father, I acknowledge that 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a mandate for us today.
Yes.
He said in your word, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Father, you went on to tell us if we did those things that you tell us in the verse 15, my eyes shall be open and my ears are going to be attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there permanently. Father, thank you. And that your word will not return void, and those that have heard the word today, don't let it. Don't let it take it lightly, because this is a mandate from God, and the Church of America is not doing that.
Amen. I wish you great with thanksgiving and your courts with praise, and I bless your holy name. We put words of all praise and all love and all glory. And I glorify you this day as God of all creation, the Father of righteousness, the Father of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. And I worship you in the beauty of your holiness, Father. And I come today, Lord God, asking you that we can become one, Lord God. Give us one mind, Lord. Let us be on one accord, Lord God, break down every dividing wall, Lord God. Every denominational dividing wall, Lord God. Every color, race, and shall divide your people, Lord God. I'm asking you in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Fill us full of the love and compassion for one another, Lord God. Help us to be born even as Jesus desired for us to be born, Lord God. Help us to love you with all our hearts, all our souls, all our minds, all our strength and our very being, Father. And help us to love our neighbor as ourselves, Lord God. Give us genuine compassion, Father. Lord God, cleanse us thoroughly, Lord God. Open us up, Lord God. Listen to the deepest recesses of our heart, Father. If you find anything that should not be there, Lord God, we're asking you today to cleanse us and purify us, Lord God. Purify us, Lord God, in the furnace, Lord God, even as gold is purified. Lord God, that we can be pure and holy and righteous, and the light of Jesus Christ to shine in us and through us, Lord God, and draw me in unto you, Father. We confess this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray for your children, for their mates, and our descendants. And we can pray today is the day of salvation. We break the power of compromise over them. We break your power, Satan, over their lives, and we command you to let our children, their mates, and our descendants go now in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that you will pull them and draw them unto yourself. Turn them from darkness to light, from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of your dear Son. And Lord, we thank you that the children of the righteous are blessed, the captive is taken from the mighty man, and the prey of the tyrant is rescued. And you will save our sons and our daughters. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your covenant. And Lord, we give you permission to use the rod on them wherever they have forsaken your covenant. Lord, we stand on your word that you said it's our children. Forsake your law and transgress your covenant. You will visit their transgressions with the rod and their iniquities with stripes. And Lord, we take our hands off of them. And Lord, we get out of your way and we say, do your work, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord.
Father God, you said in everything we give thanks and praise. Even when things don't look good, because we know that we work all things together to give to them and the God that have called us and have purpose. We thank you for this one.
Lord, we pray that you're anointing will increase in this place. You're anointing to break the yoke. We pray for increased signs, wonders, and miracles in this place. We pray for a continued decreasing in us and increasing in you. God, we just thank you for what you're doing. And Lord, I pray for every ministry represented here. Lord, we know there's curses, assignments, satanic rituals spoken against our ministries, against Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, against Meryl and Barbara and Patty and Kevin and the staff here and all of our ministries. And we bind and break every word of death, every word of evil, every curse, assignment, satanic rituals. often against our ministries to cause people to be suspicious of us, to keep people away, to keep these ministries from growing, to hinder signs, wonders, miracles, and to block finances. We just pray it in Jesus' name. And we break your power, Satan, over these ministries. And I say these ministries will grow, increase, prosper, and signs and wonders, miracles, salvation of souls in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord.
We'll cut off the spirit of the Antichrist, underscore every place that we see him, that we might cut him off. In Jesus' name, that we might stand against him. In Jesus' name, we ask you cut that spirit of Antichrist, Lord, away. In Jesus' name, and Lord, that we with boldness could speak your name. That we would, with boldness, Lord, would yield to the work of your Holy Spirit. With boldness, would draw near to listen. Not just to speak, but draw near to listen. So that, Lord, if we listen, if we get in on what it is you're thinking and what you're saying, if we can get in on what you're doing, Lord, how we've lacked for efficiency, we've lacked effectiveness because we really didn't hear what it was you were trying to say. Lord, we just ask you, help us to be a people who will draw near and listen so that, Lord, we might boldly do. We can have confidence in that. We bless you, Lord. Worthy of your name. Bless you, Lord.
Lord, the parents that are trying to raise their children in a difficult time and age, help these parents, Father. Let them be wise. Anoint them to raise these children, especially the single parents.
Yes.
Lord, with the agreement in this room, Lord, you want souls for your kingdom.
Yes.
Lord, I just thank you that you pull forth your spirit across this nation. And that the spirits of blind men would be bound in the name of Jesus. And not only this nation, but across the world, Lord. But you would pour forth into the Muslim world, Lord, and get you a harvest of souls today, Lord. That you would pour forth into the Buddhist world, Lord, and get a harvest of souls. And Lord, you would pour forth into the Hindu world in the name of Jesus and bring forth a harvest of souls. And Lord, you would pour forth across those that are atheists that believe they believe in nothing and smash those lies, Lord, and bring forth a harvest of souls for your kingdom, Lord. We believe it, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, that your warring angels would pour forth and bind the strong man over every one of these territories, even over Europe, Lord, in the name of Jesus, over South of America, over Australia, Father, over Asia, over Africa, every continent, Lord, that you would pour forth and gather in some family today, Father, in Jesus' name.
Release on us the spirit of your overwhelming influence. Cause us to be influencers, Lord, for your glory.
Yes.
Cause us to see glory, to see your glory, that we might be able to radiate what we see.
Yes.
We can't radiate if we don't see. We're not looking at it. But Lord, we ask you, help us. Help us to be a people, Lord, who come and listen. We just bless you.
Lord, we pray for that little one who's been diagnosed in this room of having cerebral palsy. God, we ask you to touch him and heal him.
Thank you, Father, that you told us in your word that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will speak. If we do certain things that, as it is written in your word, that you would do certain things. And I love the scripture that says, and unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And we are a sick generation, body, soul, and spirit, Father. We need healing. And I thank you that this very day, that healing is coming to each one of us in the areas that we need. And for that, I thank you, Father. Abba, Father, in Jesus' precious name.
Remind every spirit that is sent to depress your people, to discourage your people, to dishearten your people. We bind every spirit. We're asking you as a body corporately, you disable the hour. We're asking you, Lord, that to disable the powers that we're speaking over, that we're mentioning. We ask you, disable those and many others, that, Lord, there might be liberty among the people. There might be greater effectiveness to pray in the Spirit. There might be greater effectiveness to listen to the Spirit. There might be greater ability to accomplish for your glory. where we just been sitting still. And Lord, I know, Lord, you want us to listen to you rather than think we've got to do. But Lord, you're not pleased when we do nothing. When we fail to accomplish anything for your glory, you're not pleased with that. You want us to accomplish, and we ask you in Jesus' name, pull down every stronghold that hinders effectiveness. And Lord, we ask that you would render our lives effective for your glory because of the Holy Spirit and a greater awareness that you would release. In Jesus' name, an anointing upon every person here. We ask you to release an anointing. But that we can, we each of us have a choice, and I want to be a receiver. But we want to be receivers to receive that anointing. That the Spirit be in us, not just around us. And we be aware of His activity. Thank you for the activity of the Holy Spirit. We just thank you for that. It takes all the pressure off. We thank you, Lord, for the activity of your Holy Spirit. Sometimes we think we've got to have the next word. We need to rest, Lord. Thank you, Father, for what you do. Thank you for how you help. We thank you for how you comfort. We thank you for how you render aid. We thank you for how you make us wise, knowledgeable, skilled, able. We receive all those things, and we ask you, Lord, make us formidable to the enemy. Make us have the advantage because of your power over the enemy and every devilish thing. In Jesus' name, we surrender at your feet. You would help us to walk by your Spirit, that the enemy move off in Jesus' name. Bless you. Praise you.
Father, I thank you that you tell us in your word that you would give us a new heart. Also, will a new heart you will give us and a new spirit that you will put within us. And you told us if you would take away the stony heart out of our flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And for that I thank you, Father, that your word will not return void.
Yes.
Thank you, Father.
Yes. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Bless you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us just to come. Be sensitized and moved on by your Holy Spirit. We just bless you. We thank you and praise you for your presence. Thank you for your people. And Lord, we thank you for your activity. We thank you, Lord, that you didn't call us to walk by what we see. You called us to walk by faith. You said, no, walk by what you see. Faith, not by sight. So Lord, with that scripture in mind, Lord, we choose to walk by faith, believing that, Lord, you're able to move in mysterious ways into people's lives. You're able to cause there to be a mighty release. Lord, we pray for that gift that comes as a result of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift. Love, joy, peace, patience, all of those things, they come. They come and make a great release, and we pray for that. I pray for greater sweetness in every life. I pray for greater sensitivity in every life. I pray for greater tenderness in every life. I pray for greater forgiveness in every life. I bind the angry thing in Jesus' name and move it off. And Lord, I pray you would set in its place a reminder that you are not in the angry thing. The anger of man doesn't achieve the righteousness of God. Help us, Lord. Help us listen. Help us to yield, so we thank you. We bless you and we praise you. We want to receive in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, thank you that you've given us your phone number, Jeremiah 33:3. Call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. For that I thank you, Father.
Amen. To food, you bless the food?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. gifts all of us. Stand with me, let's bless you. Maybe a minute or a little bit of delay, a bit more. Well, we thank you. Thank you for the food, Lord. And we just bless you for it. Thank you for the hands that prepared. We ask you to pray a special blessing on those folks behind the scenes doing everything to make this look easy. Lord, we thank you for their life. Lord, and we don't let it go unnoticed. Lord, that they've laid their life down to serve. So in Jesus' name, I pray you to fuse their weariness with strength.
Yes,
that you might cause them to smile because, Lord, they're doing a good thing. They're making a place for others to receive from you. Bless them. Bless them back and bless the food in Jesus' name.
Rick said supper will be at 5.
At 5?
Yeah. Okay.
Food is blessed. Come back to 5.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.